Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody in the room and everywhere else. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, die Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Let me affectionately welcome all of you who are with us today on this call, the Heart of the Holy Name. This will also be the last time I will be addressing all of you before the very important month of Kartik starts on the 31st of October, a month where many of us plan to immerse ourselves into chanting and hopefully discover more of the Heart of the Holy Name. I read yesterday something from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which gives a little bit the substance or the essence of these calls. It says that when we deal with something spiritual, we need to go deeper than the visible platform. And he gave the example of someone receiving a letter. And you have received a letter. You need to see how you can open the letter so that you can open the envelope so that you can take the letter and read it. An envelope alone is not satisfying. You want to see what is written by the person who has sent the letter to you. So in the same way as we need to open the envelope, we need to also open the secret of the Holy Name. Yes, we have all received the chanting of the Holy Name, but have we already discovered the Heart of the Holy Name, the essence of the Holy Name? And more precisely, what can we do to go deeper and enter the more personal dimension of chanting, where you make a relationship with Krishna? I'm very excited to address all of you. I'm here at the farm, Simhachalam. This is known in Germany as the Lion Temple. Don't be afraid. There is one divine lion on the altar, Lord Nrsingadev, who is giving blessings to all of us. He has very peaceful intentions. And we are celebrating a 3 days festival. In this room, which is a small room, there are very exalted devotees sitting behind the camera who wanted to for once see how these emissions broadcasts are being made live. So I will encourage all of you to you're very welcome, but you cannot make noise. very much welcome all of you. Today, I want to go and talk about the revelation which can take place when chanting the Holy Name full of concentration. The insights, the experiences which you can make. Prabhupada, in the teachings of Lord Kapiladev, wrote, one should always remember that Krishna is within his heart and one should think of him. This is the proper system of meditation. If we always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we will always remember Krishna. And immediately the form of Krishna will awaken within the heart. So this is now becoming personal. We don't even have just a mantra any longer when we chant Hare Krishna. No, it's much, much more. Krishna is willing to appear in the heart of the chanter who thinks of him. This idea, really, that Krishna is not different from his name, and when you chant his name, he's right there, is something which I would like to illustrate with a pastime. Once Lord Krishna was in the forest of Vrindavan, and he started to miss Srimati Radharani very, very much. Madhu Mangal, his friend who was there by his side, saw all of a sudden Krishna's mood shifting from a very joyful cowherder to a lost lover who was thinking of his beloved. And he said, Krishna, I can bring you Radha. Krishna said, really? I hope you are not speaking a lie like that Lalita, who has so often promised to bring Radha but has always failed. No, said Madhu Mangal, I will give you the complete Radha, fully Radha. Krishna started to become very interested in Madhu Mangal's promise, and he asked, so give it? Madhu Mangal said, no, you must first give me a reward. Krishna was a little irritated. He really had no sweets with him, and he knew Madhu Mangal was a lover of sweets, but he had a malati flower garland, and he put the flower garland about Madhu Mangal and said, so, now you have to give me Radha. At this moment, Madhu Mangal became very serious. Gone was the joke. Gone was the festive. The lying. Madhu Mangal often lies. He just took a leaf out of his pocket. The name Radha was written on the leaf. And he said, now you may take her. Krishna looked, smiled, and he said, Sakhe, Satyam Aninabi Bhavadarpitena Tapi Tosmi. Oh friend, I'm truly pleased by the gift you have given me. And then, very feelingly, he said a verse. When the syllables of once beloved name come close to the opening of the ear, they are a constant source of support. They give immense satisfaction at every step. Such divine syllables increase the eagerness of the heart. So here, Krishna himself, in a situation of deep longing, missing Radha, affirms that her sacred name, written on a leaf even, is identical with Radha. It's fully, completely Radha. My dear devotees, these are spiritual things. They are not understood with the mind. They are only understood and felt with the purified heart. Therefore, this example is so wonderful. you have to open the envelope of Krishna consciousness, the outer aspects of Krishna consciousness, and go right to the heart of the male which has reached you, and take the written letter out where there is all the content. I want to really say here, when the scriptures tell us Krishna is in the holy name, when the acharyas tell us Krishna is in the holy name, when the great devotees who chant with tears of love in their eyes tell us Krishna, Krishna, at that time we see scriptures and people who have opened the envelope and have found the divine letter inside. But of course, this is a matter of revelation. The mind cannot understand, but the holy name can give the understanding, reveal everything to you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke about the various revelations which happen when one chants. Through chanting, the distinction that exists between the self and the gross and subtle body is gradually effaced, and thus one realizes his own spiritual form. I was thinking about this today. I have at the moment a little knee problem, which is extremely painful, and I heard from a doctor I should move the knee. So I was out walking and chanting, and as I chanted and focused on the chanting, all of a sudden I did not notice the knee problem any longer. I was just walking, and what I had realized that this chanting gives one a realization that one is different from the body. The art is to realize that one is also different from the mind, the constant story and the constant moods which the mind portrays and gives us. So when one then becomes aware that one is actually spiritual, at that moment when one has detached from the illusion a little bit, when one is no longer so identified with the physical pains and pleasures, and also not identified with the mental pains and pleasures, at that time, all of a sudden, sweet, sweet remembrances of Krishna come. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati expresses it like this: once aware of his spiritual body, as one continues to chant, he sees the transcendental nature of the Lord's form. Only the holy name can reveal the spiritual form of the living being and cause him to be attracted to Krishna's form. So, yes, chanting in the first phase detaches you from the body and the mind. Like a coconut, you know, you have the hard shell, and when you let the coconut remain in the sun for a little time, the pulp will separate from the hard shell. You can take up your coconut, and shake it, and at that time you will hear something and understand, wow, there's something inside, something separate. So in the same way, by the power of the chanting, the constant chanting, the absorbed chanting, which we will have an exercise about this, you will detach actually from the hard shell of the ego and will understand, I'm soul, and then Krishna can come to you. How is it possible someone has asked me that the chanting brings such divine realizations of the self and of God. And it is possible because Krishna gives you these realizations. Krishna is known as Savatma, the soul of all. He is there with you. He will understand when you chant. He will hear when you chant. And he will think, he or she is trying. And also Krishna is Savasamshrayaha, that means the origin and shelter of all. And Krishna, in other words, sits in your heart, and he has a fatherly or motherly concern. He's waiting there, a little bit behind a veil. You cannot see him, but you can chant his holy name. And you chant, and Krishna is hearing this. And at one stage he thinks, he's calling me, I can't hide any longer. She is calling me, I don't want to disappoint my devotee. And then the veil is gone. It's that simple. Krishna is a living person. Krishna is a person with love in his heart, more than you have. He has love for you. And he reciprocates. And that's the whole secret in chanting. You enter a relationship, a living relationship, which is observed and reciprocated by Krishna. So even if you sometimes are not chanting really in your best form, a little distracted, a little absent-minded, or overwhelmed by the temporary misery which just now happened, Krishna sees and reciprocates. Krishna had a very sincere talk about this with his great devotee Arjuna. It was a heart-to-heart talk. Krishna said to Arjuna, "Listen, Arjuna, I want to explain to you what I really think about those who chant my name. I think you are interested, because most of you who are here on the call are chanting the name." He said, "I always keep the names of those in my heart who chant my name." He keeps them in the heart. A list is there. "Whether they chant with faith or even with contempt, I take note. I hear." It's there in the heart. People say the internet is like the memory of God, because whatever is in the internet will always stay there. Incorruptible, it will be there. Some people say like this, but I think the heart of the Lord is much, much more open and full, and there's much more easy access than in the internet. The Lord keeps your simple endeavors in Krishna, in chanting the holy name, right in his heart. And that is because he is a person. For me personally, one of the greatest discoveries in my spiritual life was to find out that the Absolute Truth is not an it. He's a he, a person, who thinks, who loves, who can be pleased by our activities. And even if someone chants not meaning him, you know, with being absent-minded and distressed, like poor lady or poor man, you know, just another catastrophe happened in life, and the person is a little bit down and still tries to chant, Krishna takes note of it. I heard a very nice example. I do not know if I have mentioned it last time, so I will mention it again. Imagine you are in India and your name is Balaram. As you walk down the street, from behind a farmer comes with a few water buffaloes and oxen, which he drives home, and they take over. And they pass you, and then they are in front. And the farmer, at one stage, begins to yell, "Balaram! Right! No, right? He's the... Yes, right! Go right! Right, Balaram! Right!" So, your name is Balaram, but he calls the oxen. So, as you hear him yelling, something happens in your heart. "Oh, my name is Balaram, but he means his oxen." But you become interested in this farmer with his water buffaloes and oxen, just because he has called your name, although he meant someone else. He didn't mean you. So in much the same way, Krishna is immediately impressed when you call his name, although you are maybe absent-minded and so on. However, when he sees you are trying to gather your restless and diverted mind together, and you bring it with all your focus to the holy name, then he is not just becoming attentive, he becomes very, very impressed and pleased by you. He's not just noticing it, but he is ecstatic about it. Before I teach you one simple technique about chanting the holy name with full absorption, I need to make one little announcement. I will now, after this philosophical part, give you an exercise. And after this, I need to see if we can take questions. We are here in a new situation, but I just get a sign from my technical crew that it is possible. So you can think of a question and send it to us. It will be then written on a piece of paper, and I will be able to see it and hopefully answer it. Good. My dear listeners, it may be sometimes difficult to bring our full attention to the soft murmuring of the holy names in japa. This may be difficult, but it's easy to do so in kirtan. The scriptures again and again say, it is very difficult to focus one's mind on the Lord, but on the other hand, it is very easy to perform Krishna Kirtan, because one simply has to move one's lips, and thus this process is superior than remembering or even doing japa. No? Remembering Krishna or even doing japa. So our exercise today will be with kirtan, because I hope to bring you a step deeper than I have done so far. Now I need to request all of you to find a nice peaceful place at home. Maybe some of you need to stop their cars and drive on a parking place now, because I will ask you to meditate. That's not good when you drive. Those of you who are at home, maybe it's time to put the bags of chips to the side. We need to become active now in chanting the holy name, but not just chanting it somehow or other, but chanting it in the heart. Sit straight. Also those in the room, I would severely criticize you when you don't sit straight. I'm joking. Please bring your shoulders back. The idea is you want to open your chest so that you can breathe better. Wonderful. And sit a little bit more tall, as if a string pulls your head a little up. As you sit, please soften your gaze. I think some of you look at them. Mobile telephones or laptops. Try to bring your gaze a little down. That will do something to your neurological system there. It will relax. Continue to breathe deep in and out. Excellent. It's now your time with Krishna. You can relax from the world, and please do so by maybe letting your shoulders a little bit more relax. Soften the muscles in your body, but remain sitting straight. When you are ready and you have not done already, please close your eyes. Continue to breathe in and out. You can deepen your breath by lengthening your exhale. Go a little bit across the edge, the limit, the border where you usually stop. This will deepen your inhale. Now shift your focus to your heart area. There's a golden ball . It expands a little as you breathe in . The golden ball pulsates, becomes a little bit smaller as you breathe out. Do this a few times. In and out.
in and out. If we always chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we will always remember Krishna, and immediately the form of Krishna will be awakened within our hearts.
Krishna Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. While you sing, you please put your attention to your heart, and you may remember some form of Krishna, maybe a deity or a picture, and you sing from the heart to that form of Krishna, and you will see after some time it will become real. Please sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
If you have lost your focus, no problem. Please again try to bring a picture of your favorite deities or some remembrance of Krishna from the Shastras into the core of your heart. And after some time, the reflected, the associated mental image will be exchanged with Krishna himself. So now we will again start. Please sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very much in participating in this exercise. When I was just starting my spiritual life, I just joined the ashram, become a monk. I received a tape with a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, that great teacher who brought bhakti to the West. And there he speaks to two monks who are clearly troubled in their life. You can see they are downcast, they are distressed. And Srila Prabhupada then gave them an advice. which has become something like my guiding star, my North Star, and which I would like to share with you in relationship to this class. He said, there are so many things which we cannot control. And sometimes we are overwhelmed by circumstances that are thrown at us. At that time, we should simply go before the deities in the temple. And we should sit down, we should look at them, and we should chant their holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, etc. And then after some time, everything will be all right. Typically, Prabhupada repeated this instruction on many occasions. He breathed a breath of relief when in Vrindavan the deities of Krishna and Balaram were installed, and he said, now there are no problems any longer. You just go in front of Krishna Balaram when there is a problem, you chant, and you may also tell them, I'm suffering due to this and that, and they will take care. See, the most subtle dimension of chanting is to enter a relationship. Again, let us look at the example. The letter comes to you. It has your name in it. But if you really want to enter a personal relationship now, not just say, I got a letter, you will have to do what I'm doing here and open this envelope. And then take the letter out. Ooh, I got a rose. and read. Oops, I even got a little donation. this is not played. I just got this envelope today. It was came in a gift bag like this. And I thought, well, let me show the people that you have to go a little bit deeper, not just the envelope. The precious thing is what is in the envelope. So you have not just the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, a mantra. You have a relationship, a very personal relationship, but you need to open the envelope. And one very, very interesting way to do this, one very good way to do this is to do what we have just done. You sit, you need to bring your attention a little bit out of this world from the many subjects which you are occupied with, because now it's time for the one relationship. And then you bring your attention to that place where spiritual revelations can happen. They don't happen in the brain, they happen in the heart. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says, in the heart Krishna's form will appear. Now in the beginning, you will just remember Krishna the way you have seen him. This function is called in psychology a mental function called association. You associate, you bring something Krishna, okay, then the mind associates an image which you have seen and brings it in the mind. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and immediately an association comes. Isn't that what we do when we speak? We say Africa, and immediately those who are have a good imagination, they see giraffes and elephants and lions and the people of Africa in the mind's eye by the power of association. So when you chant Krishna's holy name, your mind can bring a picture of Krishna, an image of Krishna, like in the Africa example in the mind. It helps if you have some images of Krishna. It helps if you have sat in the temple, in the ashram, in your room, before a deity or an image of Krishna. I always do this when I chant. I always make sure that my eyes have some divine image in front of them. And then, now when I chant, my mind associates with Krishna, what I have experienced during my chanting sessions. But that's not enough. This is not where the chanting stops. It's not just a psychological function of mental association. No, Krishna seeing that you are serious and calling his name will appear in the lake of your heart. You would see his beautiful image reflected there, and then more and more and more and more realizations come. Please try it. It will work. Good. My dear listeners, I have a few things for you. I will, before I go to the questions, go to the announcements first, because I know that some of you have little time and can't stay for all the questions, but you need to hear how we can remain, how this goes on. First of all, something I feel really inspired is I will leave the world. This year I can't go to Vrindavan due to the world situation, but I will go somewhere in Europe, a very lonely place, and I will just sit in a room and chant from morning till evening. However, I wish to remain in contact with all of you, like I have done or tried to do every year, even when I was in Vrindavan, by sending you each day just a 4 to 5, sometimes 3 minutes long, Kartik inspirations. This year, the Kartik inspirations have one motto. It's called the magical touch of Vrindavan. We will learn how to be in Vrindavan in our meditation, how to go there in our mind's eye. We will not give in to the world situation, which unfortunately for some of us doesn't allow us to physically go to Vrindavan. We will go there in our mind and feel the magical touch of Vrindavan. It's I have thought a lot about the concept, and I will be recording right out of my retreat these very nice inspirations. I will be with you, and hopefully I will be very joyful, very spiritually uplifted by the type of, let us say, intense spiritual practice which I do. So, when do we start? We start on the 31st of October, and we will go up to the 30th of November. There are audio recordings. They are 3 to 5 minutes long. Daily inspirations, insights, meditations. And as a special, special feature, we have our journalist, our reporter in Vrindavan taking fresh photos, not old photos, fresh photos, and share the photos on which come together with these inspirations. Where can you see them? On my Facebook, Instagram. I said see them, you can hear them, no? You can hear them. Of course, the photos you can see also. What is it? Hearing and seeing. On Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Good. Second announcement. I request all of you, let us meet at the end of the sacred month of Kartik, which is the month of blessings, for a Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha session. It will take place on Saturday, the 28th of November. It's really 2 days before the Kartik starts, and I will give there a lecture on the beautiful, absolutely amazing pastimes of Krishna, and share the realizations and insights which I hope will come to me during the month of Kartik. You can follow me on my Facebook for further information. There you know exactly how all this is done. Good. These are the announcements. Kartik inspirations daily. The Bhagavatam Krishna Katha session. Now we have to be really focused. The question and answer session. The first question is, how can we increase our attachment towards the holy name? This question was once put to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, he answered it, well, how do you increase your attachment to alcohol? What? He will talk about a principle. It's not about drinking alcohol. How do you become a drunkard? He asked. I mean, when your spiritual master asks you such a question, you are very, very perplexed, because for one, he has never touched a drop of alcohol, and for two, he has told you, give up all your intoxication. So how do you become a drunkard? That's a question from another dimension almost. Then Prabhupada saw that we were bewildered and answered the question. You have to associate with drunkards. When you associate with drunkards, you also become one. In the same way, if you want to increase your attachment to anything, and particularly hear the holy name, you need to be associated with lovers of the holy name. There are retreats now online, of course. Live retreats are much are more effective, but there are books which the lovers of the holy name have brought out. We experience here at Singhachalam, the farm, a wonderful increase in attachment. Yesterday we chanted like anything, because in company with those who love the chanting, the attachments to the chanting grows. That's one idea. I will give you three other points. You have to write them down, because I will be very fast. Read more about the effects of chanting. Read more about the holy name. Second, it's again the same thing. Speak with those who chant and who love chanting. Tell them your difficulties. And the third is practice chanting. The second question. Maharaj, can you please give us an idea about the speed in chanting of the Maha Mantra? How slow and how fast is accepted? I'm just wondering how fast Haridas Thakur and any other Vaishnavas were chanting 6490 or 254 rounds in a day. Now, the speed which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has indicated is to chant one round between 6 and 7 minutes. That's the normal speed which can be done by anyone and their friend. It goes a little bit like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then when you do japa like this, you will take 6 to 7 minutes. Haridas Thakur and very exalted Vaishnavas go faster most of the time. But then again, there are amazing situations. Haridas Thakur is reported in Prema Vilas to have chanted 64 rounds in his mind. No, wrong. Japa, chanting in a half audible or slightly audible form. And the other 64 he has chanted really loud. Sometimes we hear he jumped up and he danced, overwhelmed with ecstasy, and goose pimples came all over his body. And the rest he chanted in his mind, mentally chanting. Now in the mind you can be really fast when you are pure in your mind. When you are not pure, it will go even slower in the mind. But when you are purified by the chanting, can really go the super jet speed. But why think so much about speed? Think about quality. Chanting is a loving address. In a loving address, is it important to really speed up and talk really fast? No. You speak normally. You speak naturally. You speak lovingly. So, I once asked a Vaishnava who chants really many rounds, how fast should we be on one round? And he said, chant nicely, don't chant fastly. But I know your question has tremendous value, because yes, we do need to, we have given at the time of initiation a promise to finish a certain quota of rounds, and therefore the day has not unlimited hours, and therefore we sometimes need to see that we are ready in a certain amount of time. Thank you, very wonderful questions. I'm really so happy about these very good questions. Third question. I have a question regarding the state of mind we should take while chanting. It is taught that we should chant like a child calling its mother. There are 5 relationships we can have with Krishna. Accordingly, can we also chant taking one of these individual positions mentally and address Krishna in that way? This is very interesting. One of my exalted God brothers remembers how Prabhupada told him to chant, which would be a little bit in the Sakya Rasa. He said, when you chant, you should be in the mood, my dear friend, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You know, in that mood, which is one of the 5 Rasas. We hear from Raghunath Das Goswami how those in Madhurya Rasa chant the holy name. What is their mood? You can find these various explanations, I think, on the internet, and everything is there on the internet. How you chant in different relationships. Now, I feel that it's very good to take the principle which are is there in all the five relationships. Let me ask you, what do you think is common as an attitude, as a mood, in all the Pancharasas, the five relationships with Krishna? I know it's sometimes difficult when someone shoots such a question at you to think. It's serving. Nanda Maharaj, in Vatsalya, in, as a parent of Krishna, chants, "My dear son, I want to serve you." And all the various relationships, the friends, the servants, the friends, the parents, and the lovers do serve Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone serves Krishna, even the water and the stones and the dust. So I feel very comfortable to enter the chanting and the relationship chanting with this idea: please let me serve you, please accept me, please allow me to be your servant. Yes, but yes, in every relationship there is certainly a different inner orientation. And you asked, can you take on these positions mentally, like feel like a friend of Krishna, or a father, or a servant? The way we do this is, there's an English word, we do it as a spectator. I don't know the English word, it starts with V. What this means is, you hear about a pastime, and you see those. You hear about friends of Krishna, and you are a spectator of this. You are a witness of this. You are an audience or a viewer of this, and as you do this, you begin to feel spiritual emotions. Oh, how wonderful the relation is between Krishna and Madhu Mangal, and how Madhu Mangal knew how to bring Radha to Krishna. He just gave the leaf with the name, you know. And as you are listening this like this, and slowly, as your heart is purified, some genuine joy comes. Genuine joy. And this is, but I don't think it is good to just totally enter into this and think, now I'm Madhu Mangal or Nanda Baba and so on. That I have never heard that this is correct. Thank you. Wonderful question. I have heard when disciples said to Srila Prabhupada, "I have seen Krishna," or "I have seen Krishna's blue hand," Srila Prabhupada would say, "It will go away, it just continue." Yes. So could you please mercifully enlighten us how to difference? Do we see the form of Krishna or some illusion of our mind? Yes, in the early times when Srila Prabhupada was preaching, many of his audience, they came from the hippie background. They had taken a lot of substances, I can only say it like this, and they had very imaginative powers and there. Yes, that is there. But I'm talking of something else. I'm talking about the practice called Nam Smaranam, that is often used in our scriptures in regards to chanting. You remember Krishna. The whole essence of spiritual life is really to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And when you chant This is what Srila Prabhupada said in many places, but I remember in Geneva. Then you keep Krishna in your heart. It's something else than speculating and LSD vision. It is something which is necessary to remember Krishna and not forget him. My dear audience, if you allow me to share one thought with you, it's a little personal, but I think we can appreciate in this circle. During the month of Purushottam, that is the last month, I have been studying the books, sometimes 6 to 7 hours a day, especially the Bhagavatam. And sometimes when you fill the mind with so many information, the mind says, I can't hold more, my little cup is full, so to say. And you ask yourself the question, what is the whole purpose of all of this? The beginning of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, the purpose of this is that you can think of God, think of Krishna, that he is there. But not imagination, not making some wild, wild speculation, but something as you have heard from your spiritual master, from the Shastras and so on. That is very good. Thank you. Such good questions. I'm so happy. Question 5. Wow, this is a lockdown question. In these lockdown situations, there are many restrictions. It has limited our movements and services, and it's become difficult to get personal association of senior devotees or even close devotees, friends. How do we keep ourselves motivated constantly and strengthen our faith in this time? There are many good answers to your question. How in this restricted time to keep personal association? Now, I would recommend to you one thing. I think there are the Facebook friends and there are the real friends. The Facebook friends means just click a like, and I have many Facebook friends, but I don't know most of them. I mean, remain a friend. But then there are personal relationships. And with these, you should not let them go. Give them a ring, give them a phone call. Do something which we used to do in the Stone Age. Write a letter. Post is still working, I believe. Emails. I remember I felt very much the need to contact with a friend and wrote an email, and boom, I got such a wonderful email back and felt very enlivened and inspired. In other words, identify those friends which you consider closer friends, or identify those senior devotees whom you consider more, let me say, essential for your life, and then try to contact them. Now, the senior devotees are usually very busy, but you can listen to their lectures and what they send out and so on. You know, my friend died a few weeks ago, and it really created an ocean of tears. It was His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And I was so distracted and so distraught, is the English word, that it was difficult for me to concentrate on other things. And I did at that time something which I really can only recommend. This was a person who had left the body. What I did is I read his books and listened to his lectures, and I did feel he was there. I did even feel at one time he walked into the room where I was chanting and said goodbye. This spiritual way of associating is not limited to just in space, although we are very much accustomed and attached to this. There's so many questions. Time is now starting to become to run out. I just pick one question. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yes, Hare Krishna. I'm quite curious. How much of a chance does a neophyte with a polluted mind have to actually get absorbed in the holy names, especially during japa? Speaking for someone being around for less than 5 years, but I guess the years doesn't matter much. In the CC I read that constant remembrance is not possible for someone with a polluted mind. Yes, that is there. What are the hopes? My dear inquirer, the hopes are kirtan. Japa is, as Sanatana Goswami speaks 2 times in Hari Bhakti Vilas about it, it's not as easy to focus as when you do kirtan. So your hope is in kirtan, and I give now a very wonderful recommendation. Wonderful absorbing kirtans you can listen to at one website where I find my favorite kirtans also. It's called the Radha Desh Mellows. There you have Badahari, you have Madhava, you have Amal Naharinam, you have Gokrishna, you have really an impressive array of maybe the most very, very powerful kirtan leaders who can take us into a space where we are absorbed. So once you have absorbed yourself more in kirtan, it's easier to do japa. And then when you do japa, you make a contact with Krishna, and then once you have learned that, it increases your kirtan abilities. In this way, kirtan and japa support each other mutually. Question. I'm trying to chant. This is the last question according to the time which I can do. 5 minutes I hear. I'm trying to chant and remember the holy name as much as possible throughout the day, but when I become ill, it becomes so difficult to remember Krishna. Rather, I become sick conscious. What a new, nice new word I'm learning. Sick conscious. What steps can I do to remember Krishna even in such situations? If you allow me to make a little joke here, it's only a joke, don't become disturbed. When you're really sick, then you will call out to Krishna like you have never done before, because you really realize he's your only shelter. But of course, I don't wish you to become really super sick. When you are having this pain, but it's not yet life-threatening, and so on. You have to get out of the mood of being sick conscious. And here comes the important role of reading. By reading, you are coming into another mental frame, a different mindset. And from there, from this other mindset, this other frame, it is so much more easier to chant. You have to come out of that one frame, that is the sick conscious frame, as you say, where you think about, I need this diet, and oh, I'm feeling so hopeless here, and I'm feeling this, and that's sick consciousness. And you have to create another frame in which you put the mind. So I recommend read passages which cannot fail to inspire and fire you up, so to say. And also prayers bring you into a serious Krishna conscious framework. Establish a different frame. That is the answer in for words. My dear audience, it was a genuine pleasure. We must admit this time it was very difficult for us to put the technique in place, and to the last minute we did something new with a new box, you know, a modern black box which made it possible for us to beam into the outer space. And I'm not so expert in technology, but somehow it worked, and it was a genuine pleasure. So please remember the heart of the holy name. This was for the month of October. The month of November, we will not have the heart of the holy name. We will have Krishna Katha in the Bhagavatam in a lecture. And but daily we can remain in contact by these Kartik inspirations, the magical touch of Vrindavan. No? So then after I return from the month of Kartik, there will be again a Heart of the Holy Name session in November, in the last week of November. I thank you all very, very much. I wish you a very fulfilling Kartik month. There are many things which you can do, but the minimum is doable for everyone. If you have children, it can be even done by children. It's offering every evening or morning, but usually it's people like to do it in the evening, a light to Lord Damodar. And if you can, sing the Damodarastakam while doing this. And in this way, you will experience the blessings, extraordinary blessings, I should say, of Srimati Radharani. I thank you very much. All the best for you, and see you very soon.